Good morning. Welcome back to worship in the sanctuary here at Park Avenue Congregational Church. And welcome to you who are joining us on Zoom and on Facebook or watching this at a later time recorded. We are so glad to have everyone here, both in person and virtual. A few announcements before we begin. The first is to say a very, very big thank you to Dave Morissette and Nick Dokos for getting us set with our cameras and our audio systems so that we can be together in worship with folks who can't make it in person or aren't comfortable being in person yet. What a gift that has been and how much work has gone into that. So if you would do another round of applause, please. Thank you, Dave. And thank you to Nick also. And Dave, you won't be able to see him, but he's tucked away back there, actually working the cameras as we speak. So a lot of work has gone into that. If you are interested in helping to run those cameras and live stream our broadcast, our worship, please talk to Dave or you can reach out to me and we'll get you connected. It's pretty straightforward. It takes some training, but it's not super duper complicated. And we would love to have a team of people ready to go for that so that that burden doesn't just rest on Dave's shoulders and you all can get in on the fun too. Today is Stewardship Sunday, and so if you have brought your pledge for the year, we'd encourage you to put that in the plate near the entrance back into the narthex on your way out if you have not done so already. If you are joining us from home, you can of course mail in your stewardship pledge for the coming year, or if you are here but have forgotten it. And you can also take care of that, the piece of that digitally, if you'd like to go onto our website in the Give tab there. We will not have a live in-person coffee hour today, or for the next several times that we're meeting in person, but we will have a virtual coffee hour. So if you are joining us via the internet, via Zoom or Facebook, actually just on Zoom, you are welcome to stay after the service and have a conversation, a chat, catch up with folks who are on Zoom as well, and we encourage you to do so. Thank you to Meredith Sabo-Jones for hosting that and to Alicia Tapper for getting us set up with folks to lead that. We have this afternoon a very fun event. We're going to have our first outdoor family-friendly worship service. We know that a lot of folks are not yet ready to be back in person with young kids, so we are going to gather in person at Menotomy Rocks Park at 2 p.m. We will be meeting near the playground, and we encourage you to come with masks on, dressed for the weather, and to bring your own version of communion, whether that's cookies or crackers or bread, and something to drink, because we will have communion, but in family groups. So come ready to move your body, to praise God together, and to talk about all the things we are thankful for in this Thanksgiving season. Coming up next weekend is the Hanging of the Greens. We have gone 2 years without that. The last time we did it was 2 years ago, so we are thrilled to be back in person to decorate our sanctuary for Advent. If you would like to participate, please get in touch with Dave Morissette, our worship deacon, as he is going to be making sure that we don't get overcrowded with too many people at one time on that morning, but we would love some helping hands to get us ready for the coming season. Just a reminder for worship that if you are here in person, we're not going to be singing congregational hymns. Those hymns will be sung by a lead or two singers, and you're invited to listen or to hum along if you'd like. We won't be having coffee hour, and we will be, as soon as worship is over, we'll be exiting outside to sing our final hymn outside, so you do get to sing something. But please make sure that you move outdoors so that our socializing happens in a very well-ventilated outdoors. Now, if you will join me in our why statement, which is printed on the front of your bulletin or at the top of your order of worship. We come to Park Avenue to practice deep and fulfilling connection with God and each other so that we can live as true neighbors, belonging to and caring for others as our own. And now, if you will join us in the call to worship to begin our time of worship together.
Good morning. Would you join me, please, in the responsive call to worship? The days are surely coming when God will keep God's promises, that justice and righteousness will rule in the land, and people will live in safety. The time is drawing near when Christ's love and compassion will reign, and our motto will be, God has set things right for us. Thanks be to God. Let us pray together. Pilate was confounded by you, Jesus. How could a king choose to reign not by force, but by the greatest power there is, love? We confess that we too are often confounded by you and your call to justice and righteousness. Your upside-down, inside-out kingdom is frequently at odds with the way our world works, and it often feels easier to follow the rules than to imagine a new way of being. Help us today to reaffirm our allegiance not to a country or a political label, or even the social norms we're comfortable with, but to you, the one who longs to reign in our hearts, if only we will let you in. Amen.
evening, everybody. What a pleasure to see you all live and in person. And for those of you on Zoom and Facebook, good morning too, and welcome. Many of our younger members might be instead choosing to hold it closer. Okay, thank you, sorry. we're also having a family service, as you heard from Leah, later this afternoon. And so some of our younger members might be not here, but instead attending that. But wherever you are, hi there. Good to see you. Okay, I have a question for you. How many of you have ever met a king? Me neither. How many of you have heard of a king? Or two, or three? There are lots of examples out there. Kings, both with good reputations and really bad reputations, am I right? Monarchies with really good or really bad reputations. Anyway, one of the kings that came to mind for me was King George. Who's seen Hamilton? He sings that nasty song, right, to the colonists. He's not a very nice guy either. Another question. When you think about a king or a monarch, what kind of rules do you think about might be kind of at play? And if you have one to say, please raise your hand and I'll come by. Yes.
Absolute everything.
Right. Okay, absolute, yes. Anybody else?
Obedience,
yes, like absolute faithfulness, right, to the king, obedience.
Kings believe in hierarchy with them at the top.
That's what I was gonna say too, hierarchy, all kinds of classes of people, right? Some of the names that are even used, nobles, right? The nobles who were in the king's family. But there are other people who are called literally small folk. Or commoners, or, you know, this caste system is often found in a kingdom. Any other thoughts? I was thinking about, you know, paying taxes, that kind of thing. But, you know, we have to do that in free countries too. But a sworn loyalty among the citizens. And one other thing I wanted to note. You know, a king has to be called Your Grace. anyway. Some funny things there. Leah is going to dig in a little bit later to a couple of scripture readings that allude to Jesus as a king. And in the gospel reading, Pilate asks Jesus in his trial, in Jesus's trial, "So, are you a king? Are you the king of the Jews?" And Jesus replies, kind of like, who's asking? Like, is this your question? Is that what you think? And Pilate is sort of confounded, as we often are, by Jesus' words. But he asks again, Pilate asks again, well, are you or aren't you? And Jesus says, well, if I am, I am a king of a different realm of thinking. And I wanted to sort of tie this in with Thanksgiving today to say how thankful we all feel that that is a guiding force in our lives. Whatever our politics, wherever else we might be ordered around by a certain kingdom or hierarchical order, Jesus is there with his own rules. And those are simpler and better. Love, compassion, justice. The less of us, the least of us, being raised up and taken care of. So it is kind of a paradox that he's likened to a king in the scriptures, in some hymns. You know, we've heard the King of Peace, or the Prince of Peace, the King of Glory. But one of my favorite words that Leah has introduced to us is, instead of saying kingdom, is using the word kindom. And that feels familial. It feels like, yes, we are God's family. So I'm going to teach you some sign language for a little song that Leah and I are going to sing for you. We've done it before. Unfortunately, you just have to kind of hum along. But here, let's see. Let me just, okay. Hold on. I'm going to put it down for a minute.
Thankful. Good. Good. God is like this.
Okay, so let's try one. Thankful.
Thankful.
I am so thankful.
I am so thankful
for all the good,
for all the good in my life.
For all the God
in my life.
Here we go. Thankful, I am so thankful, so very thankful for all the good in my life. Thankful, I am so thankful, so very thankful for all the good in my life. I am so thankful, so very thankful for all the God in my life. Thankful, I am so thankful, so very thankful for all the good in my life. Thankful, I am so thankful, so very for all the God in my life. Thank you for participating in that beautiful way and for being here. And I wish you all a beautiful Thanksgiving.
And Andy, we need the mic back. That's okay.
Thank you.
We're getting our handheld mic because now is the time in the service when we share with one another and lift up to God all the things that have brought us joy and celebration in this time, as well as the places where we are feeling stressed or sorrowful or worried. If you would like to share a prayer request, you can do so by raising your hand, and Betty Rich, our Deacon of the Month, will come to you for you to share that with the mic. The folks joining us on Zoom are relying on what's picked up by the mics to hear, so just make sure you hold it close. Don't touch your mask with it, but hold it close to your mask. And then if you are joining us on Zoom and you'd like to share a prayer request via chat, we will have Cindy Manson, our Zoom bouncer, that's her official title, excuse me, our Zoom usher. We'll have our Zoom usher read those aloud, so feel free to share those via chat as well.
Continued prayers for my daughter-in-law, Mo Maureen, as she begins her recovery from surgery and cancer.
Continuing prayers for my brother Jim as he makes some progress in recovering from the stroke that he had 2 years ago, that he not lose hope and that members of the family gather around. And prayers of gratitude and celebration for the 12th birthday of my granddaughter Sophie this coming Tuesday.
Prayers for my father, who's having cataract eye surgery on December 2nd.
Prayers for the family of Kathy Resendez, who died yesterday. She was my best friend's mom, and Kathy's life was one very well lived. She died at home yesterday, surrounded by all the many people who loved her.
And I have one prayer of thankfulness that the procedure I had last week worked and I'm not in pain. So thank you for all your prayers.
Hi, everybody. So on Zoom, Meredith is asking for prayers for justice to return to our courts. I second that. And I'm trying to find the other prayers. Sorry, guys. Pam is asking for two prayers, one for herself. She's fighting a cold since Friday and heading out later to get a COVID test. Also a prayer for her dad, who's having eye surgery on December 5th. And I'm checking in case there's any others. Sorry, everyone. Great, I think that's it. Apologize to anyone on Zoom if I missed a prayer in all the back and forth about the technical stuff.
Cindy, and if you are wanting to add another prayer via Zoom, go ahead and do that in the chat, and we will rely on our other folks participating via Zoom to hold you in prayer as we pray all together. So let us go together to God in prayer. God, we are indeed so very grateful for all the good in our life and for you in our lives. We are grateful for this day, for the ability to gather in person in our beloved sanctuary and to see beloved people, whether in person, as someone remarked this morning, that we can see each other's full bodies, that everyone has legs and feet that have been missing for months on Zoom, but also that we can see each other on Zoom, that we can still be one body in Christ through this space and the virtual space. There's so much joy in that, God. Thank you. We continue to pray, God, for an end to the pandemic. For all those who are suffering with COVID, we ask for healing and for an easing of symptoms. We pray, God, for an equitable distribution of vaccines and treatment. Everyone who is vulnerable might be able to be protected, and that those who are eligible but not yet vaccinated might have a change of heart and go ahead and get that so that we can all keep each other more safe and so that we might be able to slow and eventually, we hope, end this pandemic. God, we pray for all those who are medical staff working to care for those with COVID across the world, particularly those who are just overrun and under-resourced and trying to deal as best they can with this pandemic. We pray for our students and our teachers and educators and administrators who continue to do such great work during a very odd and strange time. We pray for small business owners who are struggling and maybe worried about with the shipping backlogs that they may not be able to make ends meet this season. And so many folks who have already gone through the shuttering of beloved businesses because of COVID, we pray for them as well. God, we pray for all those who have lost loved ones to COVID, who will have empty seats at their Thanksgiving tables this year and aches in their hearts, that you might be with them and ease that ache just a little bit. We pray for safe gatherings this Thanksgiving, that those who are gathering in person might do so safely and that we might travel safely as well. And we give you thanks for that possibility of being vaccinated, taking precautions that we need to so that we can be together with loved ones. We pray, God, for an extra dose of patience as we continue in this pandemic, as we figure out what worship looks like in person and live streamed, as we deal with technical snafus and difficulties. We ask for your presence and your guidance, that we might be at peace no matter what looms around the corner, no matter what anxieties or stresses might be in the headlines, that we would be reminded of your presence with us. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for all those who are ill, who are recovering from surgery or preparing for it, those who are dealing with a diagnosis or waiting on one, those who are undergoing treatment or dealing with chronic health issues or with chronic mental health issues. We pray particularly for Meredith's daughter-in-law, Maureen, as she continues to recover from surgery and cancer, that her pain might be eased, that her recovery might be a smooth one, and that she might feel well enough to enjoy a little bit of the holiday this week. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Likewise, God, we continue to pray for Sharon's brother, Jim, as he is still recovering, still working on life after a stroke. We pray for hope for him and for the joy also of being with family this week, even if it looks different than he might have hoped. Give him and give them your perseverance and your strength to keep going. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Pam that her cold might clear itself up and that she might have a negative result on her COVID test. And we pray also for her dad who has eye surgery coming up on December 5th, that that might go well and might take care of the vision issues he is experiencing that is making life extra hard right now. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray also for Jordan's father preparing for cataract surgery in December, that that might go smoothly and well, and that it might bring the improvement that he has been seeking so that things would be a little easier for him as well. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for Todd and Becca and Landon Ferreira, who are all down with a bad case of the stomach bug, that they might have a speedy recovery and be feeling well soon. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for Gwen Phelps' uncle Kingsley, who continues to struggle with cancer. We give you thanks for his recent surgery and ask that that healing process would be swift and complete so that he can resume his cancer treatment, and that you would hold him and his family through this long slog and give them your hope. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, with gratitude and thanksgiving for Beth's surgery success, that she is no longer experiencing pain, and for the gift that that is in her life, the reminder of freedom of movement and of the ability to go out and do what she wants. We are so glad with her, and we give you thanks. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, for those who are missing loved ones this time of year, those who have gone before us, and particularly for families who have recently lost a loved one. We pray for the family of Ray Barbuto, who died earlier this week, that you might be with them and provide solace in their pain and their loss. And likewise, we pray for Christine's best friend's mom, Kathy's family, after her passing yesterday, for the celebration of her life and also for the tender hole that it leaves in the hearts of those who love her. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray with joy, God, for the celebrations in our lives, for Sharon's granddaughter Sophie's 12th birthday coming up, for Thanksgiving gatherings to look forward to, for all the bright moments, little and big, that grace our lives and remind us of your goodness, even when things are sometimes hard. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray, God, today for your world, for our community, and for everyone and everything beyond it, for the ties that we have to people we love all over your earth, and for your creation. We pray particularly for the people in your world who are experiencing hunger and war and famine and natural disaster, that you might be powerfully with them so that they know they are not alone, and that in this week of Thanksgiving, you might open up our hearts to pray with generosity, to give with generosity where we can, so that that suffering might be eased just a bit. We pray, God, also for justice in your world, for all the places where pain has been inflicted on people, where injustice has been inflicted on people, and there does not seem to be a solution, or the solution that is there was not the one given, and the breaking of hearts over that. We pray particularly today for the families of Joseph Rosenbaum and Anthony Huber, and we pray also for Gage Grosskreutz, who were all either killed or wounded by Kyle Rittenhouse, and who must be reeling from the verdict in that trial. We pray, God, for peacemakers in our land and all over the world who are feeling anger at the way that violence so often seems to win. And we pray that we might be a part of finding a way forward that does not involve violence, but that seeks restoration and reconciliation, that seeks a new way of being so that people do not have to live in fear based on the color of their skin or the causes they support, but that we might come together to be your people, to stand for what is good and right, and to nurture that in one another. God, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Now we pray, God, silently for all those things that we have not said aloud, knowing that you hear us whether we speak or type or stay silent. And now, Mother and God, who nurtures us from our very first days all the way to our very last, we pray the prayer that your Son Jesus taught us, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. As we pivot from one practice of prayer to another of generosity, we invite forward Mike Rich for our stewardship moment this morning.
Good morning. My name is Michael Rich. I prefer to be called Mike. I use masculine pronouns, he, him, his. I'm speaking to you here and on Zoom from the ancestral land of the Massachusetts and Wampanoag peoples. When Josh Young and Sharon Hamilton, this year's deacons for PACC's stewardship ministry, asked me to share about why I make an annual commitment to support the church, the first answer that came to me is that it's a habit. And not one of those bad habits that you want to break. It's a habit that is good for me and that I develop for good reasons. My spouse, Betty, who prefers to be called Bet and uses feminine pronouns, and I have been attending services here for almost 24 years and have been members for 23. I'm a lawyer, which plays a part in why I feel the need to give back to PACC in a few different ways. I help families in crisis. Attending services and other events at PACC gives me the respite I need from that stress. Shortly after we became members, the student pastor here invited me to attend and paid for my registration fee for a 3-day conference where I was introduced to the concept of restorative justice. Ask me about it sometimes if you have an hour or three. At that conference in October 1998, I met members of the historic Massachusetts Conference's Restorative Justice Task Team. I became a member, and through those activities, met other Witness and Justice Ministry team members from the Massachusetts Conference, many of whom I continue to see as mentors. Restorative justice has become an integral part of my law practice and my life. In November of that same year, 1998, when I was asked to join the PACC Council as vice moderator, I felt I had to accept in order to repay the gift that was given to me by Mark, the student pastor. During my first year on the council, I learned how important regular planned giving is to the church. Supporting PACC also lets me feel like I'm making a difference in supporting the good works of our Mission and Justice Ministry and the UCC's Witness and Justice Ministries worldwide in ways that we couldn't do on our own. Leah's sermons and sermons from other pastors over the years, Bible study, and presentations and presentations at Southern New England conferences, Super Saturdays, and other events have given me a broader perspective on the world, history, and life, and fulfills the spiritual needs that caused me to seek out a church in the first place. PACC has become our family. We support it the way we support our now grown children and nibblings, that is, our siblings' children. The hugs and caring and cards and fellowship and help that we receive from our PACC family is worth so much more than the dollars we now gladly give. Please think prayerfully of your reason for generously supporting PACC.
Let us pray. Bless these gifts, O Lord, especially these pledges of time, talents, and money, that through them we might spread your reign of compassion, justice, and love to those who most crave it, both here within these walls and far beyond them. Amen. The reading from the Hebrew Bible this morning is from the book of Jeremiah, chapter 33, verses 14 through 16. The righteous branch and the covenant with David. The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will fulfill the promise I made to the house of Israel and the house of Judah. In those days and at that time, I will cause a righteous branch to spring up for David, and he shall execute justice and righteousness in the land. In those days, Judah will be saved, and Jerusalem will live in safety. And this is the name by which it will be called: The Lord is our righteousness.
Our gospel passage this morning comes from the book of John, chapter 18, verses 33 through 37. Then Pilate entered the courtroom again, summoned Jesus, and asked him, "Are you the king of the Jews?" Jesus answered, "Do you ask this on your own, or did others tell you about me?" Pilate replied, "Well, I am not a Jew, am I? Your own nation and the chief priests have handed you over to me. But what have you done?" Jesus answered, "My kingdom is not from this world. If my kingdom were from this world, my followers would be fighting to keep me from being handed over to the religious authorities. But as it is, my kingdom is not from here." Pilate asked him, "So you are a king?" Jesus answered, "You say that I am a king. For this I was born, and for this I came into the world, to testify to the truth. Everyone who belongs to the truth listens to my voice." Will you pray with me? May the words of my mouth and the meditations of all of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. So today is Reign of Christ Sunday, also known as Christ the King Sunday, which is why we talked about that earlier in All Ages Together. It's the day when we celebrate Jesus as the ruler of the universe, the embodiment of the greatest power in the cosmos. Each year it falls right before Advent, which starts next Sunday, and it reminds us that the Jesus who is about to enter the world as a tiny, helpless baby is also the Jesus who will reign over the transformation of an unjust and cruel world made over into God's peaceable kingdom. As it says in this morning's Hebrew Bible passage, "The days are surely coming, says the Lord, when I will raise up for David a righteous branch, and he shall reign as king and deal wisely and shall execute justice and righteousness in the land." Speaking of David, from whom that righteous branch will come, we've been talking all this fall about God's covenant with God's people, starting with Abraham and Sarah, going through Rebekah and Isaac, Leah and Rachel and Jacob, bringing the people out of slavery in Egypt, finding a home for them, and the establishment of their first few kings, including David and Solomon, whom we talked about a few Sundays ago. As part of that ongoing covenant, God promised David that his throne would be established forever. And indeed, David's dynasty remained intact up until the end of Jeremiah's career, when the Babylonians laid siege to Jerusalem in 587 BC and destroyed the temple that David's son, Solomon, had built. For the next few centuries, the people were ruled by a succession of foreign empires, sometimes with a Jewish governor, but never as a sovereign people. By the time we get to Jesus' era, when our gospel scripture takes place, God's people have been waiting over 500 years for God's promise to be kept and a descendant of David to take the throne for one of their own, God's chosen anointed one, that's what Messiah means, to once again rule over God's people. They were waiting, essentially, for the one who would set them free. Can you imagine 500 years of waiting? 500 years of trusting that God will be faithful? 500 years of keeping your eyes peeled and wondering about every tidbit of news that someone might be gathering a following? Someone might be marshaling forces to overthrow these foreign rulers. Can you imagine 500 years of hopes dying back down when a promising revolt was crushed or a movement dwindled away? And then, can you imagine in Jesus' time hearing rumors about this man who heals others, who performs miracles, who speaks about God with power and authority, whose following is growing larger day by day. And then to learn that in the time of the census, when everyone went to their family's ancestral town, this man's father, Joseph, had returned to Bethlehem, the city of David, that this Jesus from Nazareth was actually a descendant of King David. Whoop, whoop, Messiah alert. It must have been thrilling. Everyone must have been holding their breath to see what was going to happen, whether this Jesus would be like other would-be messiahs in the past who had seemed to hold such promise but then had come to nothing, or whether he might just be the real deal. Now we come to this morning's gospel passage where Jesus is in Jerusalem with his followers during Passover. He's been arrested and tried by the religious high court, who have now brought him before Pilate, the Roman governor, who has the power to mete out punishment. The main charge against him at this moment was also the main hope that the people had for him, that he was indeed the King of the Jews, their long-awaited ruler. But Jesus does not cop to either the accusations or to the expectations of his hopeful followers. It seems a real cross-examination. It's a courtroom drama with Pilate trying to pin Jesus down and decide if he is a threat to the Roman government, as the religious authorities have implied he is, in order to get him out of the way, because he's certainly a threat to them, right? "Are you the King of the Jews?" Pilate asks, and Jesus responds with a question of his own, sort of, "Who put you up to this?" implying that he knows Pilate wouldn't have cared about this on his own initiative, but that the religious authorities must have roped him into this. Pilate admits as much and wants to know why Jesus has stirred up controversy in his own community, but instead of answering him, Jesus responds to the concerns of his followers and those hopeful bystanders. It's almost like he breaks the fourth wall a minute to talk directly to those whose hopes hang on his every word. "Yes," he says, I do have a kingdom, but my kingdom is not from this world. It doesn't look like the kingdoms of this world, and it isn't the kind of kingdom that I know you want. If it were, I'd have asked you all to take up arms and weapons to keep me safe and keep this movement going. We'd be fighting in the hills and coming to blows with the Roman soldiers, but instead, this is a different kind of kingdom, one where truth rules. The truth of God's love living in each person, there for each of us to become a part of if we only pay attention to it. And that movement doesn't need violence or force to keep it alive. Can you imagine his followers hearing this, the crowd hearing this, their confusion, their disappointment, their crushed hopes as Jesus is led away to his death and he does nothing to save himself? No matter what fancy words he used about kingdoms and truth, how could this man possibly be the one that they had hoped for? No wonder his followers would next gather in an upper room, doors locked, hiding from the authorities, unable to envision how they could move forward without Jesus at their side. In their grief, in their fear, they could not imagine a different way. And even when he came to them, resurrected and alive, they struggled to understand how this different kind of kingdom might actually take root and flourish, despite having no hold over the government, no claim on traditional power. It's hard, isn't it, to accept that something we wanted, something we deeply longed for, didn't turn out how we had hoped. Not merely that something we wanted to happen didn't happen, but the realization that what we longed for was going to come in a different form, through a different avenue than we thought, and it feels at first so dissatisfying. To wrap our mind around not just disappointed expectations, but to adjust to changed expectations, to see that what we thought we had wanted hasn't come to pass, but that what we need might still be found in a completely different outcome, that can be difficult. We want someone to come in and wave a magic wand and transform the way that power is wielded in our world, the way justice is meted out or not in our courts, the way resources are handled for the profit of some and to the detriment of many others. Maybe we even want force to make this happen, if we're honest with ourselves. And we certainly want those who are responsible to be held accountable, maybe locked up, maybe sent, in the particularly colorful words of a friend of mine, to the lake of fire. We don't particularly want to hear from Jesus or anyone else that the power we desire to make those changes might make us just as corrupt as those we decry, or that it wouldn't change the hearts of the people we want to see transformed, and that it wouldn't challenge the parts of ourselves that need to be transformed too. We don't particularly want to envision a different kind of power, a different kind of kingdom. We want Jesus in charge. Yet when we are able to envision a different kind of power, it is powerful indeed, far beyond our imagination. Have you ever noticed that the leaders of the most powerful, heart-shaping, heart-changing movements of the world aren't the ones who lead armies into battle or incite crowds to violence, but the ones who, with great integrity, commit to the principles of human dignity and compassion and never waver from them, no matter the temptation? Mahatma Gandhi, Dr. King, Dorothy Day, Malala Yousafzai, Greta Thunberg, they have challenged empires and governments not with weapons, but with the strength of their convictions and with an integrity bedrocked in God's inalienable love for each and every human being. Forces far greater than the oppressive stomp of the soldier's jackboot. It's like the power of water to wear away stone and create the Grand Canyon, or the power of a small seedling that first just comes up through a crack to grow into a tree that uproots concrete as it puts down greater and deeper roots. Jesus' kingdom and his kingship are like that. His power comes not from might or show of force, but from the ability to see people deeply, to love unconditionally, to offer hope and healing to those who thought themselves beyond it, to make a place of belonging for those no one else wants, or to reconcile seemingly unhealable hurts, to restore what has been broken. As we prepare for the coming of the world's greatest king in the form of a tiny, helpless baby, let us remember that this is who he will become. One who changes the entire world, not through force, but through love. And let us make room for his reign in our hearts. Amen. Now, this is going to seem a little strange because I just preached, and normally we have a hymn right after this before the benediction. But, as mentioned in the beginning of our service, we are going to enjoy our postlude and then head out to sing our last song together outside. If you are joining us on Zoom, if you all want to sing it together at the beginning of coffee hour, that'd be wonderful. You know it by now. It's our old standby, God Will See Us Through. But first, hear these words of benediction. As you go out into this world and into this week, look for those places where you want to be in control, where you want to just make people do things the way you want and just fix it and have it be done right and have it be done the way that you think it should be. And where, if you're really honest with yourself, you might just wish that you could come. come in and clean house and start over. And then look for a place in that wall of force that you have built up that might be a crack where that little seedling could get through, where a different force might take root, and where you might find a sort of upside down, unexpected way to change things through love instead of through force. Go in peace.